Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program will be Davenport Blues, the only composition by BIX Beiderbecke for a jazz band. All the other compositions were for piano. BIX recorded the Davenport Blues on January 26, 1925 in Richmond, Indiana, Star Piano Company, Jeanette Records. The file card says Leon Beiderbecke, Beiderbecke. But the record label says BIX and his Rhythm Jugglers. The Rhythm Jugglers are Don Murray on clarinet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Tommy Gargano on drums, Paul Mertz on piano, and Howdy Quicksell was present at that recording session but did not play in Davenport Blues. Davenport Blues was copyrighted in 1927 and then again in 1935, and there is sheet music, Davenport Blues by BIX Beiderbecke, a modern composition for the piano. This is published by the Robbins Music Corporation and it's edited by William H. Challis. So this is a piano rendition of Davenport Blues. I imagine that it's hard to say. I was going to say that I imagine the copyright in 1927 was for the composition, for the jazz composition, but I don't think there was any sheet music published at that time. What I propose to do today is play a whole bunch of recordings of Davenport Blues. First, the one by BIX and his Rhythm Jugglers. Then a few others from the 1920s, then I'll go on into the 1930s and I'll go into the modern era. I will also play a couple of renditions for piano. Well, let's get started with the music, and first let's play the original version of Davenport Blues by BIX and his Rhythm Jugglers, 1925. Thank you. want to mention a couple of items before I go into the next set of recordings. Davenport Blues was the first recording in which the name Bix appeared on a record label. And I have a page, a web page, at bixography.com/images/devblues.htm in which I have a lot of information about Davenport Blues, recordings, images. So that's a place that you can read some more about Davenport Blues. Okay, now I'm going to turn to recordings of Davenport Blues from 1927 by Red Nichols and Miff Mole. Within a very short period, about a month, there were three recordings of Davenport Blues by various Red and Miff groups. And one more thing I want to say about Red Nichols and Davenport Blues is that the first broadcast of Davenport Blues was on Friday, December 2nd, 1927, Columbia Broadcasting System at 9:31. Red Nichols and his student band, they played first Heebie Jeebies, Japanese Sandman, Feeling No Pain. Then there was a duet, soprano and baritone, Because You're You from the Red Mill. Then there was a piano solo by Arthur Schott, Delirium. And then Red Nichols and his student band played the clarinet Marmalade and Davenport Blues. First time Davenport Blues was broadcast, December 2nd, 1927. Okay. The first recording by Red and Miff groups that I want to play is from February 11, 1927. It's Red and Miff's Stompers. The Red Nichols on trumpet, Miff Mole on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet or alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Tony Colucci on banjo, and Vic Burton on drums. There were two takes, and I will play both of them. First, take two, issued on the Victor 20778, and then take three, issued on an LP much later. Let me read from Redhead, A Chronological Survey of Red Nichols and His Five Pennies by Stephen Stroff, what he tells us about Davenport Blues, this particular recording by Red and Miff Stompers. Davenport Blues is, of course, Bix's famous tune of 1925. Nichols plays a very pretty Hackett-like introduction with Burton on timpani, then a break containing one of Bix's licks before the chorus by full band. There is a whole tone break by Dorsey on alto and Burton on celeste, then the verse with Burton really swinging on cymbals. Mole lays down a chorus with Burton back on timpani, an ensemble break, then back to the chorus embellished, with J.D. on clarinet in the middle eight, sounding eerily like Trumbauer. Okay, then let's listen to Davenport Blues by Red and Miff's Stompers, two takes, 1927. Thank you. Let's move on to the next two recordings by Red and Meath groups. First, from February 25th, 1927, the Charleston Chasers. This is a Red Nichols group with Red Nichols on trumpet, Meath Moore on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet, alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Dick McDonough on guitar, Joe Tardo on bass, and Vic Burton on drums. Steve Stroff writes about the Davenport Blues. Here there is an unsuccessful remake of Davenport. Jimmy Dorsey is stiff and unimaginative. But then comes the next recording by a Red and Meath group. In fact, the last recording by a Red and Meath group. This is Meath Moll's Mollers. It's March 7, 1927. Red Nichols on trumpet, Meath Moll on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey in clarinet, alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Joe Tardo on brass bass, and Dick McDonough on guitar, as well as Ray Bodook on drums. So the only difference between this recording and previous one is the drummer. In the first one, we had Vic Burton, and here it's Ray Bodook. Steve Stroff tells us, 4 days later, the band with the New Orleans drummer Ray Bodook, 1906-1988, substituting for Burton, was in the OK Studios for a Mollers session. Here, too, the Nichols Moll subtlety worked to subdue a normally exuberant player. But perhaps because of the intelligence and creativity of the session's nominal leader, I find the results more satisfying. This remake of Davenport Blues dispenses entirely with an intro, jumping into the chorus with J.D. clarinet breaks. Moll solos on the verse, followed by a superb Dorsey, also alto solo, far different from the previous session, of beautiful and logical construction with Tardo underpinning. Short solos, followed by the ride out with Bodook on cymbals. All right, so let's listen to two more versions of Davenport Blues by Red and Meath groups, both 1927. Thank you. I don't agree with Steve Stroff's evaluation of the Charleston Chasers' Davenport Blues. I think it's a very good recording. In fact, it was included in Bix Restored, the Complete Recordings and Alternates, Volume 5, Newly Discovered Takes, and the Weiderbeck Influence. Richard Salthalter writes about this particular track, Davenport Blues. Perhaps the best-known player of the 1920s to follow Bix's lead was Ernest Loring Red Nichols, 1905-1965. Born in Utah and musically well-trained, he brought to recording and playing in New York a quick wit, immense versatility, and sometimes a convincing hot style. His partnership with the trombonist Irving Mifmall resulted in hundreds of records, some of them of superior quality. Nichols' version of Bix's style was less emotional and rhythmically far less varied. Still, he occasionally shines. His lead, for example, on Bix's Davenport Blues is broad and authentic. The other version, the Mifmall's version of Davenport Blues, was included in Nick Dello's CD set, The Influence of Bix Weiderbeck, and liners written by Max Easterman include the following. Bix recorded Davenport Blues on his first session under his own name for Jeanette in 1925, but it was the two recordings made by Red Nichols groups in 1927, the Charleston Chasers, and the one presented on this CD, Mifmall's Maulers, that established this number in the jazz canon. Compared to Bix's original recording, the tempo here is slightly slower, the rhythm smoother, bouncy rather than punchy, and the cornet takes a backseat to the reeds. This is Jimmy Dorsey's record, without a doubt. And as we can also hear on the penultimate track on this CD, Jasmine Blues, his playing is heavily influenced by Bix. On the original Davenport Blues, Bix led his own group from the front throughout, dominating what is largely an ensemble performance. Here, the trombone states the verse and hands over to Dorsey's alto sax, which creates a melody line that inverts the basic tune and is at the same time full of Bixian leaps and turns. Nichols confines himself to a pretty straight, on-the-beat lead in both opening and closing ensembles, only occasionally indulging in his characteristic slurs. Well, I also must point out that there is a terrific solo by Mifmall in Mifmall's version of Davenport Blues. Okay, now let's move to the 1930s. First recording that I want to play is from October 23rd, 1934, with Benny Klein and Dave Klein on trumpet, Jack Teagarden on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Arthur Rolliner on tenor sax, Adrian Rolliner on bass sax, Howard Smith on piano, George Van Epps on guitar, Artie Bernstein string bass, Stan King drums, and that's that. The next recording, also from the 1930s, this one is from November 29, 1938. It is by Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, with Tommy Dorsey on trombone and directing. The trumpets are Charlie Spivak, Max Kaminsky, and Yank Lawson. The trombones are Dave Jacobs, Elmer Smithers, and Buddy Morrow. Clarinet alto sax is Johnny Mintz, the alto sax Fred Stools and Jaime Scherzer. On tenor sax we have Babe Rossen and Skits Harfurst. Piano is by Howard Smith, Carmen Mastron on guitar, Gene Traxler on string bass, and Maurice Pertel on drums. I wonder how Tommy Dorsey felt about recording Davenport Blues 14 years after he had recorded it with the composer himself, Bix Weiderbeck. Maybe he didn't even think much about the earlier recording. He was busy directing this very big band. Who knows? Anyway, well, let's listen to a couple of recordings of Davenport Blues from the 1930s. First, Adrian Rollini in 1934, and then Tommy Dorsey in 1938. I enjoyed very much the version of Davenport Blues by Adrian Rollini. Very nice. Let me now play another two recordings of Davenport Blues from the 1930s. First one from one day after the recording by Tommy Dorsey. This will be then November 30, 1938. And it's by Bonnie Berrigan and his men. And the men in the band are Bonnie Berrigan on trumpet and directing, Irving Goodman on trumpet, Ray Conniff on trombone, Mary Williams, Gus Bivona on clarinet and alto sax, George Auld on tenor sax, Joe Lippman, piano and the arranger, Hank Whalen on string bass, and Buddy Rich on drums. On that particular day, November 30, 1938, Bonnie Berrigan and his men recorded the whole bunch of Vic's tunes, In a Mist, Flashes, Candlelights, and Davenport Blues, which we will play. The next day, he recorded the fourth piano composition of Vic's that he didn't record the day before, that was In the Dark. After the Bonnie Berrigan recording, I want to play another recording by Red Nichols of Davenport Blues. But now this is June 21st, 1939, about 12 years after he had first recorded several times Davenport Blues with Miff Maul and his usual group of musicians. Anyway, for this June 21st, 1939 version, we have Red Nichols on trumpet, Don Stevens, Jay Douglas Wood also on trumpet, Martin Croy and Robert Gebhardt on trombone, Harry Yolinsky, Ray Schultz on clarinet, alto sax, Bobby Jones and Billy Shepherd on clarinet or tenor sax, Billy Maxted, piano, Tony Colucci on guitar, Jack Fay on string bass, Victor Engel on drums, and that's it. Let's listen then to a couple of recordings of Davenport Blues. First one from 1938, Bonnie Berrigan and his men. The next one from 1939, Red Nichols and his orchestra. Thank you. I'm sure you must have noticed that the Bonnie Berrigan version of Davenport Blues interpolated several pieces from the version by Adrian Rollini. Now we're going to jump more than 50 years. We're going to go to 1996. In fact, almost 60 years. And play one of the tracks in a CD entitled Sound of Bix by the Dukes of Dixieland. And one of the tracks is Davenport Blues with Steve Blaylock on guitar, Kevin Clark on trumpet, Tom Fisher on bass and tenor sax, Connie Jones on cornet, Tim Laughlin on clarinet, Everett Link on bass, Tom McDermott on piano, Ben Smith on trombone, Richard Taylor on drums, and he's the leader. This was, as I said, recorded in 1996. This is May of 1996 in New Orleans. And the number of the CD is MD-1074-2. It's a leisure jazz CD. I will follow that recording with a 2003 recording of the tune of Davenport Blues, this time by Jeff Muldaur's Futuristic Ensemble. This comes from a CD entitled A Vision of the Music of Bix Beiderbecke, Private Astronomy. It's from 2003. And the instrumentalists in the recording of Davenport Blues are Mark Gould on cornet, Dan Levine on trombone, Walt Weisskopf on clarinet, Ted Nash on alto sax, and Jonathan Levine on baritone sax. No piano, no guitar, no drums. So let's listen then to contemporary recordings of Davenport Blues. First, the Dukes of Dixieland in 1996, and then Jeff Muldaur's Futuristic Ensemble in the year 2003.
Thank you.
The Jeff Moldar version is fairly interesting, and I'm sure you must have noticed at the end there are quotes from both In a Mist and from Stardust. Okay, now what I want to do is play a couple of versions of Davenport Blues for piano. These are piano solos, renditions of Davenport Blues. The first comes from a 1976 album entitled Bick's Hug, 22 numbers associated with Bick's Biterbeck, performed by the late New Orleans piano genius Armand Hug. It is Jazzology JCE-83. The liners are written by John Peronis on July 16, 1976. John Peronis wrote a thesis at the University of Minnesota on Bick's. I have a reference to it in the Bick'sography website. Let me read a couple of things from the liners. It was Armand's idea to play the solos as short piano vignettes, allowing him not only to include more tunes on the album, but also to focus the record on the Bick's solos themselves. Another thing is the piano does justice to Bick's harmonic sophistication and melodic inventiveness, whether one is playing his piano solos or his cornet solos. And Armand's piano does particular justice to them, for Armand has a rich, full, rhapsodic sound combined with a delicacy and sensitivity which makes the arduous task of playing through these solos note for note seem almost effortless. Another thing, this is an interview of Armand Hug, and he says, Bick's knew how to get the most out of the note. He knew how to get the most out of a chord. He knew how to get the most out of a rhythm pattern. I will follow that with the piano version of Davenport Blues by Dick Hyman from his CD Thinking About Bick's. This is reference recordings RR-116. These were recorded in 2008. And let me read to you what Dick Hyman writes about Davenport Blues. Bick's first published composition, Davenport Blues, dates from 1925 when he recorded it as Bick's and his Rhythm Jugglers. The session is notable for the presence of one of the jugglers, Tommy Dorsey, who would come to fame in the 1930s and 1940s as the leader of one of the most popular swing bands. The piece, like many others with place name titles, was only nominally a blues in the definitive 12-bar form, but it is capable of being played more slowly and more bluesy, perhaps, that might have occurred to Bick's at that time. The recording dates from February 26, 2008, so it's very, very new. And, well, then let's listen to the two piano versions of Davenport Blues, first 1976, Armand Hug in New Orleans, then Dick Hyman, 2008, in Marin County, California. Thank you. Well, I hope you didn't get indigestion by listening to so many versions of Davenport Blues. It's a great tune, and the interpretations were sufficiently different from each other that at least I never got tired or bored of listening to these. It's an interesting experiment. Maybe I'll try it again with some other tune of Biggs or some standard traditional jazz tune. We'll see. Well, let's get back to Biggs now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Biggs is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Biggs Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Biggsography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Biggs is alive.